Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna, and welcome everyone to the Minister's Friend podcast. I'm so glad you've joined us for today's important discussion. We continue our series of episodes discussing EQ, or emotional intelligence, with my friend Dr. Daryl Thompson from the Evangelical Free Church in America. Daryl has a great grasp on the issues surrounding low EQ in the church and how they affect and even damage relationships in the church family. Those with low EQ usually are not aware of how they impact the people around them. They may see the fruit of stressed and broken relationships in their lives, but they cannot grasp why everyone reacts negatively or avoids them. And when they are approached about their words and actions, this lack of self-awareness often makes them deny that there's a problem, or they may become very defensive. When people with low EQ have hurt those around them, it's helpful to employ a form of redemptive church discipline. We pick up my interview with Daryl on this very topic as we discuss intervention by folks from the denomination or another outside body. You know, talking about bringing someone else along, alongside, that really gets us into the whole dialogue of a Matthew 18:15-17 kind of a conversation, this idea of redemptive church discipline, where I go and I talk to the person one-on-one about these things, and then we take two others along that really are there for the purpose of bringing the conversation out in a redemptive way. What might be the role of church discipline in dealing with low EQ?
You know, I think oftentimes low EQ is hurting people unintentionally, but they're kind of programmed into doing it because this is the way they've learned to live their life. So it is an issue of helping them to come to understand and to discover that they are doing these things. And I guess one of the things that is hidden here is that people with low EQ can actually end up hurting people. It's not uncommon for me to encounter stories of people who've gone in to see an individual to share a problem or whatnot, and they've left saying, "I will never go back and talk to them again." They were actually hurt by the way they were received and the way they were responded to. So if that is the case, then there is a need for there to be reconciliation, restoration in that relationship. And so I think you kind of have to be cautious because low EQ is often done unintentionally, but it is still real and it is done. And only when a person becomes aware of actually what they have done are they going to be capable of actually responding well enough to bring restoration or reconciliation or healing to it. So Matthew 18 is an excellent way for this to be approached in a situation, just recognizing that when EQ is involved, the real problem is a person tends to be unaware of it, and their normal response tends to be defensive and denying it. And so being aware of those things means that you have to kind of approach this, if we're going to have positive or constructive results, in a very gracious and a humble way. Being aware that it may well be that although this person is actually hurting individuals and yes, indeed has done this and is the one to blame or at fault, to a large degree, they're unaware of it. I would say that generally there's some awareness of it, but they're unaware of it and they're so defensive that they have a hard time just being able to hear the truth about what they've done and how it has affected somebody else. So being very gracious and being very patient in the process of trying to help somebody with this. The bottom line is, however, that if we're going to have healthy relationships, we cannot allow a rather dysfunctional matter of relating to other people and working with other people to be the culture that prevails and develops within a church. So it does have to be addressed and be addressed in a way that change is really brought about or results.
I agree. And I also agree that sometimes that is the hardest conversation to have. It's a really tough situation, but we can't not have the conversation just because of the way the person with low EQ, the power broker, whatever you want to call them, just because of the way they're going to respond. I think oftentimes we don't help them because we're afraid of what the outcome might be. And so redemption really doesn't happen in the relationship or actually in that person's life because we are afraid to approach it.
This is an observation I've had, and I wouldn't say that I've observed this every time, but I've observed this frequently. People who are in a primary relationship with a person who is being problematic with EQ, and maybe an easy one for me to identify is that a lead pastor is being problematic in this area. In fact, you just walk down the history, and every 2 years, his associate staff or one or more of his staff leaves, and they leave with the identity that they were a problem in the staff. So there's that history. But one of the things that I have observed is that when the leadership team tries to address this, and maybe it's an elder team or whatever it is, they tend to be prone to assume more of the responsibility than is theirs, while the person who is being the major contributor assumes less of the responsibility. And that becomes problematic because it is not an accurate perception of what is actually taking place, and therefore it fails to actually bring about the needed change to the degree that it's called for. So an example that I could relate to is that there is an elder team who is trying now to address what they have finally acknowledged and recognized is a problematic way that their lead pastor is relating to the staff team. And when they do this, they constantly say, well, yes, but, and their but is that they're assuming some of the responsibility for this. And there's times when it can be 50-50, but oftentimes when we're dealing with these things, it's 80-20. And we're unwilling to acknowledge it is true that there's a contribution being made, and the contribution may be that we fail to address this in a very clear and consistent and rather firm manner earlier because we really have all the indicators that it's there. But they fail to be honest enough to say, yes, it is true that there is something that we've contributed, but the great reality is that the majority of the blame for this is over here. So what becomes problematic is one side tends to overstate their responsibility, another side tends to understate their responsibility, and when you're experiencing that, you're having a hard time keeping the actual level of responsibility for unhealthy relating at the place that it really is.
Yeah, and I would agree. This is why outside objective observers, denominational person, whatever, bringing them in is so helpful because they're not a part of the dysfunction of the church. They're not one who's going to take on that extra responsibility. I think also this is another good reason why it's not a bad thing to have like an annual review of the pastor, giving regular scheduled opportunities for the leadership to speak into the life of the pastor in a way that is appropriate. You know, I have found that most of our churches, I don't know about with the evangelical free, but in my particular denomination, most churches do not evaluate their pastors on a regular basis. And I think that would be a very healthy thing. It'd be an opportunity to begin to address things like low EQ.
And John, I would agree. I think most of ours don't, and some of them do it randomly, and some of them are struggling to find a tool that helps them to do it in a constructive way instead of a way that's not that constructive. This is, you know, hopefully if this is identified at a level where it is not being so problematic that it is not able to be addressed in the current situation without changing it, then that can become an ongoing matter of just how are we doing, how's this developing, what efforts are being made, things such as that.
Before his retirement from Wooddale Church in Minneapolis, Dr. Leith Anderson once said that his leadership does not reward dysfunction. What a great statement. But it's a policy that is not consistently employed throughout the North American church. The truth is, by not addressing people, like those with low EQ, who hurt others in the church, we are doing just that, rewarding their dysfunction. We also don't help people with difficult or powerful personalities by assuming more responsibility than we should for the broken relationships they have caused. Both Daryl and I have seen this over and over again in the churches that we have served in our denominational roles. When the people around the person with low EQ take on too much responsibility for the pain and frustration, the situation will not change and relationships will not heal. Daryl and I also talked about the value of doing annual pastoral reviews and how these can be a regular place for relational issues to be broached by the leadership. Actually, such a review should be done for all those in leadership positions in the church. If you'd like more information on a review process for your church, email us here at The Minister's Friend at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. We'll continue our interview next week. If you're being blessed by The Minister's Friend, would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen and leave us a review? We really appreciate it when you do this. And please also tell your friends and the pastors that you know about our podcast. I know we say this every week, but because we don't advertise, your recommendation to others is the only way we can grow our audience. I hope today's episode was a blessing to you. Please check out the show notes for additional information and suggested resources. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimble. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!